Hello.
Podcast Network Asia.
From the newest developments in realty and construction to the hottest trends in design lifestyle,
we bring you the top thought leaders, most trusted brands, and the most exciting projects in the industry
to guide you in acquiring, building, and living in your home, wherever it may be.
I'm Jules Cruz.
I'm John Aguilar.
And I'm Isa Litton. Come home to Realty TV Podcast.
Hi, everyone. How you all doing? Welcome to Realty TV Podcast. And I certainly hope you're all in the mood to learn more about real estate. Definitely real estate investments are exciting, of course. But it does take a certain finesse to get it right. And of course, to even more so, make the most out of it. Realty TV Podcast is here to guide you, bringing you the hottest real estate trends, newest developments, and the most trusted thought leaders to pave your path to real estate success. So in fact, this podcast is a spin-off show of Philippine Realty TV. It is the first real estate and construction TV show in the country, and it's been airing since 2008. Philippine Realty TV is the top-of-mind television medium for anything related to real estate and construction. So we welcome you to its new podcast form. Realty TV Podcast will be presenting more in-depth discussions and features on everything real estate. And Realty TV is available everywhere. That's another plus. Everywhere that you can listen to podcasts. And last but not least, it also has video versions on YouTube and Facebook. So there's no escaping us. All you have to do is look for us and listen in. So greetings to all of our listeners from the Philippines, Asia, and beyond. I'm Isa Litton, your host, by the way. Now, let's get started. Our guest today for our very first Realty Spotlight episode is Carrie Lagdameo. He is the first vice president of Damosa Land Incorporated. And of course, Damosa Land is the real estate arm of Davao Homegrown Conglomerate and Flocor Group of Companies. Currently, they are revolutionizing the development industry in Mindanao, in the southern part of the Philippines. And under Carrie's leadership, the real estate company experienced hypergrowth. Now he's here with us to discuss the latest projects and developments. Definitely a very exciting time and a very exciting guest. Welcome to Realty TV Podcast. Hi, Carrie. Carrie Lagdameo, everybody. Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Hi, Isa. And thanks for having me on the show. And it's quite an honor to be the first guest for this maiden episode.
Oh, definitely. And of course, we're happy to have you to kick things off. And of course, very exciting times now. I mean, everybody usually will complain about the pandemic or what's happening. But honestly, in every, you know, hardship or challenge, there definitely is opportunity. So let's get to know Damosa Land Incorporated first. Okay, so I gave a very short intro about Damosa Land Incorporated, but I think it would be best if we hear more from you. So tell us about the company.
Sure. Well, Damosa Land, as you mentioned earlier, we are the real estate arm of the Anflo Group of Companies. And we've been doing business as a conglomerate in Mindanao since the 1940s. A lot of people know us better for some of our other companies, such as our agricultural companies. People know us for Pearl Farm Beach Resort. So Damosa Land is actually one of the, I would say, one of the newer, but one of the faster growing companies in the portfolio. But, you know, something that a lot of people don't know is that it's actually one of the oldest in our portfolio. And that's because our original company, which was a car dealership, that was my grandfather's first business here in Mindanao. So the name Damosa.
Okay.
Yes. And so the name Damosa actually comes from Davao Motor Sales. And so that's how we got Damosa. And well, I mean, it's a long story, but, you know, fast forward a couple of decades and we turned the car dealership into a real estate company. And, you know, there was so much brand recognition with the name Damosa. So we decided to keep the name
and
we
called it Damosa Land. Exactly. But from cars or motor, from cars or the motor industry to real estate, why the shift?
You know, it was a bit of a shame because we were at one point, we were the country dealer for Ford vehicles. And that wasn't just in Mindanao, but for the whole country. And when Ford left the country, and I think that was sometime in the 1980s, we slowly stopped dealing vehicles. So we also were able to amass quite a good land bank here in all over Mindanao. And so that's what we used to start up the real estate business. So, I mean, it was serendipitous, I suppose.
It's a nice turnover. And it basically was already there to begin with. So you just said, like, okay, it's not a matter of giving something up, but just simply proceeding to, hey, there really is this one that we should start growing or exploring because we have it.
I guess you could say that. And you know, one of the things that I guess at the time we didn't know, but the home for our first dealership here in Davao became what is probably now the most valuable land in Davao City.
Wow.
So, you know, most of the other large developers are developing around us. We've become known as, you know, the main business hub or the main business district. So kind of like a BGC, if you will. So that's, I guess that's something that we didn't know way back in, you know, the 1940s and 1950s. But now we're taking advantage of that, basically of our location.
And we're going to find out how the development of this location came to be. But first, how about you personally? What were you doing? Or were you always part of the family business?
No, actually, you know, I'm a relatively newcomer to the family business. I joined about 7 years ago only.
So what were you doing before getting into the family business?
Prior to that, well, I had a bit of, I guess, a colorful career, if you will. I worked in the corporate side for a while. I did investment banking. I did commercial banking. But after that, I also did my own entrepreneurial ventures. I entered into what I always like to say is probably one of the hardest industries, which is the restaurant industry. I did that for a couple of years. And I said, you know, I mean, we did well at one point, but never again. I mean, that's definitely one of the hardest things I've ever done.
Oh, wow, really? Never again? I mean, there's banking. That's always a good background to have. And then you went to food, of course, around Manila. Everyone, especially nowadays, is some sort of baker. They have their, you know, homegrown food offering. And it's funny that you said never again.
It is a tough business. And I think, you know, there are a lot of other people out there that can do it much, much better than me.
Okay. Well, I love that humility with you, that with learnings, it's just a matter of saying, I'll let this go for now, right? I highly doubt you're really going to hear the type of person who would give up on something. But for now, I like you acknowledge also that there are other people who can do this better than me. And knowing a leader, absolutely, you'll probably take them under your wing and just simply lead. Anyway, so that's the backstory of Carrie. And so from banking to food, how and when did you decide to join the family business? And what was your first role in the company, in the Mosa?
Sure. I mean, I started about, that was around 2014. And it was actually prompted by our late founder, my grandfather. He passed away, that was around 2012.
I'm sorry.
And, you know, when that happened, you know, we went out to Davao for the wake and spent a lot of time in, you know, I just saw how much support there was for him as a businessman and as a person, not just from his employees, but from the entire community. And it really, you know, struck my soul. And so I thought hard about it. And I said, you know, maybe this is the right time to join the family business. And when I was deciding to join the business, I looked at the portfolio and I decided, you know, I think I could add value to a business that is probably not one of the more well-established businesses. So something that I can help grow. And at the time, the real estate business was probably one of the smaller ones in the portfolio. Mm-hmm. And so I saw it as a challenge and something that I could understand as well, because I'm definitely not an agricultural expert. I'm not a manufacturing expert, but real estate, I figured to myself, you know, I think I have a chance at this. And so I guess you could say the rest was history.
I think that's also from your banking and running a restaurant, like having all these other cogs in place, right? So definitely with numbers that came in easy, especially if you're looking at growth figures. but also just handing out with, like you said, an opportunity to make something grow and an opportunity for you to contribute what you can.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love that you dug deep for that, that you wanted to continue with your grandfather's legacy.
Well, yeah, I mean, when I decided to get into the business, I said, look, I mean, he's already made such a name for himself in agriculture. Why not, continue the legacy that he started, but in another business? And later, we'll talk about how we even put agriculture into our real estate projects. So I think that's something that's a bit unique to us. And so it's continuing the hard work that has been done for 70 years prior to this.
So you definitely have a role model already. And of course, that strength. You already said what is unique to you is this agriculture side. So other than the agriculture side, or unless you want to expound more on that, how is Damosa Land Incorporated different from other real estate companies? We'll zero in on that, the agri
sure.
background.
Well, one thing that we really pride ourselves in is being a homegrown Mindanao developer. We take pride in being able to build communities all over Mindanao. But I think one of the biggest achievements that we've had to date is being able to develop in several sectors of real estate. So we're not just into residential development. We also have office development. We've developed industrial parks. We have hotels. We are in the tourism business. And now we're into township or mixed-use projects. So, we were able to pioneer a lot of these different business lines of real estate within Davao and the greater part of Mindanao. So that's something that not a lot of real estate companies, I would say, can match, or they can say.
In fact, let me put this in perspective. He joined 2014, everybody. It's just 6 years later. And everything he just said is pretty much in place in 6 years. Right? Like you said, it's not just residential. It's not just, a business, townships, hotels in 6 years.
I guess it was a lot of good timing, I suppose.
Why do you credit the timing? And what was your role? By the way, what was your first role in the company? I mean, you took it on like, hey, Damosa Land Inc. is parang 2014. I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, Carrie. So 2014,
yeah.
Out of the portfolio our family business has, okay, there's this part. Real estate, I'll give it a try.
Mm-hmm.
What role did you put upon yourself to say, I'll give this a try, right?
Sure. When I decided that it was the real estate business that I wanted to join, my uncle, who's my boss, he asked me to head the township project that we now have in Davao del Norte, which is called Agria. So that was a project that has been in the planning since 2009, actually. And, it was still, prior to me joining, it was just that. It was still a plan. So they needed somebody to execute. And so that was my first role. But, when I started in 2014, proceeding with that plan was still a bit premature, I would say. There was still a number of things that we had
to do. Even with 5 years into planning now. You didn't want to go for it.
Yes, we felt that the area was not that ready yet. But since real estate has been booming for so many years here in the Davao region, by the time around 2017, 2018 came on, we felt that it was the right time to launch that project. And so in the meantime, I was getting involved in other parts of the real estate business. So getting involved in our industrial parks, in our residential development, and also our commercial development. So I was getting a taste of everything.
Before I let this one go, I wonder then, because it's a learning opportunity, what made you feel it wasn't ready yet? So for listeners to, especially if you're into development, right? What made you feel the area wasn't ready yet? Anything you'd like to share about that one?
Well, when I came in 2014, I mean, real estate, the real estate industry here was already picking up, but probably I would say about 2-3 years later, more national developers were coming to Davao. The size of the projects were bigger, prices were going up, even the buyers were becoming more discerning and more sophisticated. So we felt that, okay, yeah, this is the right time to launch this milestone project of ours.
That's a very good lesson then. I mean, just because you have the plans in place, don't just go for it. There's an instinct to this. Like, do we go? Not yet. Wait, something's holding me back. And in the end, it does pay off. I mean, just like your story so far, Carrie, this is with Agria. And we're going to talk about that more in detail in a bit. But still with the company, with Damosa Land Inc., of course, you're more than capable of going nationwide. I should think that's very obvious. But why are the projects of Damosa still mainly focused on the development of the southern region, specifically Davao?
Sure. You know, Isa, I mean, there's still so many opportunities here in Mindanao. I mean, we're just scratching the surface. You know, we started developing in Davao City, and then now we're branching out into different cities around Davao del Norte. We have some projects in General Santos. And just last year, we actually signed an agreement to be the franchisee for Mindanao for a group called the IWG Group, which is the group behind Regis Business Center, Spaces, mm-hmm. and other flexible workspace brands. And so, you know, we look to develop that all across Mindanao and probably more, a little bit more offices, more residential. You know, we're still not even that involved yet in Cagayan de Oro, Zamboanga. I mean, there's still so many different cities that we can develop in.
Actually, how I see it then is you're the home court advantage. So there's a little
bit
of
truth in that. You can say that.
Yeah, we'll stick to where we are first because we do definitely the opportunity is there, but hey, it's we know our area. We know our people, you know, home court advantage, definitely.
Yeah, and I think that's really helped us in timing our projects. I mean, you mentioned earlier, I mean, why didn't we just go for the Agria project? I guess because having the home court advantage, we know the market a little bit more. Mm-hmm. We're more in tune with the community, with the people here. So I think that's something that's really helped us, you know, successfully time when and where to launch our projects.
Nice. And last, to wrap up, so far, we're still talking about Damosa Land Inc. as a company, everybody, okay? Did the pandemic affect your projects? I mean, the running of the company. How were you able to cope with the situation? I have to ask this one, of course.
Yeah, no, of course. And absolutely. I mean, we definitely were not spared. A lot of our projects, construction was put on hold. And what was, you know, unfortunate there was that we have so much construction going on in different for different projects. And so, you know, that the 2 month ECQ period that we had here, it didn't necessarily turn into just a 2 month delay in our construction. It probably turned into, I would say, about 5 to 6 month delay.
Exactly. Yeah, 5 to 6 months, especially for real estate construction. Yeah, it took a while for government regulations to kick in. But other than that, what else were your challenges?
Well, you know, we'd like to see what the opportunities were. And you know, during the ECQ period, you know, we really took that time to help digitalize our business. And, you know, there's something that we had been planning for so long, but this really, I guess, caused us to ramp up our digitalization efforts. So, you know, when we were allowed to start selling, everything that we were doing was online. We were doing our sales and marketing online. We have virtual tours for all of our projects. You can do your payments online. All of our sales team, they get all of their information now online and very quickly. So, I mean, I guess that was the silver lining to all of this for us.
And put now all that these things in place to keep going. Yes. Exactly.
Absolutely. So, and I guess one good thing was that we were pleasantly surprised to see that come June or July, that residential sales were actually still very good. And our office segment was only down by, I would say, about 5 to 6%.
So, Not bad at all.
And so, I mean, our tourism businesses, definitely those were badly affected, just like anywhere else in the country or anywhere else in the world. So, I mean, So I think that was one of the good things about having such a diverse portfolio is that there were parts of the business that were not as affected and were resilient.
Yeah. So it balanced it out. So it's not like it's all down and out. So yeah, that's why the opportunity was there that you got into all these things, be it, again, townships, residential, office spaces. There's a lesson to be learned that you just spread it out first. Don't put all your eggs in just one basket.
Yeah, and when we looked at all the research reports and even the reports that are coming out today, you know, the sectors that the experts are saying are going to be resilient are the office sector, industrial parks, warehousing, some parts of residential. And so when we looked at our portfolio, we said, hey, we have all of that. And so we were, I guess, kind of blessed, you know, that we had planned the business out that way.
Nicely done. So let's actually get into your different projects right now. I was supposed to start really with Anflo Industrial Estate, but if you don't mind, I want to go to Agria because that was your first project. Shall sure. I begin first with Agria? So if I'm not mistaken, Agria is 88 hectares big.
Yes.
It's an 88 hectare township project of Damosa Land Incorporated. And it's in Panabo City in Davao del Norte. So for those who are not familiar, how far is that from Davao City proper?
It's actually very close. It is, it's actually the next major city after Davao City. But where the project is, it's roughly about 24 kilometers from the Davao International Airport. Mm. So it's literally maybe a 30 to 40 minute drive. It's that close.
Okay. And it is, since you say it's a township project and you're mentioning something like, you know, a BGC or Makati, is that what it is?
Well, not quite, because we're not yet doing high-rise buildings in that particular project. But what's interesting about it is that, well, first of all, the name Agria, it stands mm-hmm. for Agricultural City by Anflocor. So again, we're still sticking.
Agricultural City by Anflocor. Nice.
Right.
Everything's an acronym, huh?
Yeah, we're big on that. Yeah. So, I mean, we're still trying to stick to our roots. We're injecting agriculture into this project. And
just what started with your grandfather. Let's not forget your grandfather's legacy. That was his strength, agriculture.
That's right. Uh-huh. And Panabo City in Davao del Norte, the city is actually known for agriculture. So some mm-hmm. of the largest banana plantations in the world are located in Panabo City. So we wanted to do a project that had a lot of meaning, a lot of relevance for the locality that we were operating in. And hence, you know, we are putting agriculture in almost all of the different facets of this project, from having an agricultural school that is going to be run by UP Los Baños, to having agritourism, an agritourism park, which is already open, to even promoting backyard farming and vertical mm-hmm. farming within the resident space. So these are all the different things that we're going to be doing within the project. And again, it's really trying to give more importance or give back to agriculture, because it's been a sector that has, I guess you can say, been a bit neglected over the years. So this is us trying to put a little bit of agriculture into our real estate.
And here's the thing. It's Agria is the only master plan township, I think, in the whole country that's focused on agriculture. Is that true? And what is
I
that?
I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not many projects or similar projects that I can think of across the country. But, you know, I think the location was very important. Agriculture, I mean, of course, Mindanao is really the food basket, and it's really the center of agriculture for the country. And so we wanted to do something unique and something that the people of Davao and of Davao del Norte would really appreciate.
So besides bananas, growing bananas, anything else it's a wealth of in this area?
We have a lot of high value crops, different kinds of plantings. But, you know, with the banana, the showcase that we have for bananas is very interesting, because there's not only one kind of banana in the world.
Yes,
there's actually 300 different species of banana, and we've planted about 67 of them.
Wow.
And so these are different shapes and sizes, edible, ornamental, non-edible.
It's not just for eating. Of course, with the weaves, you get cloth and weaves out of bananas. Also, you can even use stuff for your home accessories, right? There's so many uses. Definitely.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, not a lot of people know this, but the banana is actually one of the only fruits where everything is used. Nothing
just like
is thrown
coconut
away.
Tree. Just like a coconut tree, the tree of life.
Or just like a coconut tree, sure.
Yeah.
So it's really a sign of sustainability.
Oh, you're big on that too. Let's talk about sustainability. Gria is one of those townships that is big on sustainability.
You can say that. I mean, we're using a lot of solar panels. We'll be having e-vehicles as the mode of transportation within the park. And I guess just being an agricultural community, it's I guess by default we are green, or we will be green.
You can't escape it. So actually, the question I was supposed to ask you is, how did you incorporate agri into the township? But no, I think now that I've heard your story, it's actually the opposite. How did you incorporate the township based on the agricultural element of the area? Because the agri was there to begin with. I think that's the strength of this particular project. Am I right?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, for instance, all of our residential communities that we're building within Agria, you know, they will be, I guess you can say, more upscale, more high-end residential subdivisions, which there are not a lot of in Davao del Norte. So this is really going to be one of the first. But within those subdivisions, you know, we'll have community farms. Our plantings, instead of just typical trees that you see that are planted, these will be planted with, you know, different kinds of vegetables and different kinds of fruit-bearing trees. So, you know, what we want is that almost everything that you see will be edible.
Can you imagine living in a community where you really, you'll never starve, if you think about it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And everybody already has pretty much an immediate job simply by farming. I think that, I mean, the people around Metro Manila are waking up to that nowadays, you know, backyard farming, looking at some source of your own garden so you don't have to spend on like even herbs or basic vegetables. But in yours, it's a township. It's a community already. And people are living there, not just working there, but they're living there.
That's right. Well, they will be living there. I mean, we're still building out certain parts of the project, but that is the vision and that is the dream. And we think that it could be successful because for one, you know, a lot of our homeowners and a lot of our buyers will already know how to grow these things.
Yes.
They'll know what farming is all about.
Exactly.
But now we're putting it in, I guess, a more organized community, a more upscale community, something that they can, you know, be comfortable and be very proud of.
Speaking of a township with agriculture, how is it spaced out? Like, it's a house with enough plot of land that you can call your own farm? Will every household be their own farm, or is it just in designated areas? How are you going about it?
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, you don't even need that much space to have your own vertical farms. I mean, if you're not planting in the ground, for instance, you're planting in vertical planter boxes. So it really eliminates the need for so much space. But having said that, in our first subdivision that we're currently building out right now, the average size of the lots are about 350 to 400 square meters, which it's relatively generous.
Yes,
and,
it's not small.
Yeah. No, not at all. So there's a lot that you can do on that.
And this is your regular size. It's not even your premium.
Yes, this is the average. I mean, there are some that can go as high as maybe 600 square meters.
So all of your residential communities there are still pretty much horizontal in nature. No, not much vertical building in this particular area of Agria?
In this particular project, which is Agria, yes, it's going to be all horizontal. Well, for now, at least.
For now, yes. How about amenities? I mean, so far we've talked a lot about agriculture and residential areas in this particular project. Amenities.
Well, we mentioned already that we will be having community farms.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we will have a UP Los Baños campus.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that we actually signed. We signed an MOA with UP Los Baños way back in 2017. So, you know, we were supposed to start construction of that this year. Obviously, with the pandemic and, you know, schools being done online or education being done online. So this is being pushed back slightly. I also mentioned earlier that we will be doing agri-tourism. So we allocated several hectares that's dedicated to different kinds of farming, showcasing the whole process of banana farming from planting to exporting. We also have livestock. We're also showcasing different kinds of aquaculture, bangus farming.
For manufacturing?
For manufacturing, not so much in this project. We have that in a separate project, which is actually not very far from here, or far from Agria. But we also have things like, you know, we have a large lagoon that can be used for boating, and we have a lot of areas that can be used for picnics, a lot of open space, and things like that. I mean, it's really a lot of agriculture. It's a lot of nature. Yeah.
So how about this part? What is Ameria? Did I say that right? Ameria?
Ameria. Okay. Ameria is the first subdivision within Agria. So we'll have, I believe we will have about 3 or 4 different subdivisions within Agria. So Ameria is the first subdivision that actually we're currently building out right now. Ameria is actually a kind of flower. So again, we're trying to
very neat.
So we're trying to stay in line with the whole nature and agriculture theme.
This isn't an acronym of anything. I mean, I'm just checking.
This one is not.
Okay. So I can imagine that the rest of the subdivisions that will be popping out later on will be centered around nature, if not flowers. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Probably, and yes.
I mean, after everything you've already said, how you broke down Agria, this may seem like such an obvious question, but I'd still like to hear it from your thoughts. How do you think this project will benefit the region?
Definitely, it's going to it's going to uplift the kinds of living that's available in Davao del Norte, especially in Panabo City. I think with this, after this first project of ours, you'll probably see more upscale, more organized residential projects, and probably a lot of the developers will, you know, they won't be averse to doing something that's agriculture related. I think it'll also raise the property values of the area and the city that we're in. So when that happens, of course, there's wealth creation for the community. It'll also create a lot of jobs, especially while we're constructing. So I think there's overall there's going to be a lot of positive effects.
And since you already mentioned, actually generously, how other developers can be inspired with this, can you see this project being duplicated in other parts of the country? Not necessarily by you.
Why not? Definitely. I mean, there are still so many areas out there that have similar characteristics, and not just in Mindanao, but even in Luzon. I mean, there are a lot of areas that are still, you know, where agriculture is still, you know, the main driver. And so something like this, I think, could work.
Well, thank you very much. Again, this is all about generosity and setting the standard, especially for something that's not quite popular yet. You're one of the forefront. You're one of the forerunners of this particular type of development, which is Agria. Okay, yes. So from Panabo area, did I say that? Yeah, Panabo City in Davao del Norte. Let's hop over to something more industrial. So that was the first project, Agria. These are the projects and developments, of course, of Damosa Land, which are actually three. I'll be talking with you about three of your most important developments. From Agria, let's now go to Anflow Industrial Estate. From agriculture, let's talk industrial. It's said to be the Philippines' premier agro-industrial hub. What is that about? What is it, Anflow Industrial Estate?
Sure. Well, first of all, the project is actually in Panabo City as well.
As well. So this is the one you were saying has the manufacturing arm. No?
That's right. That's correct.
Okay.
So it's literally only about 5 to 10 minutes away from Agria. So it's located in the same city. You know, this is one project that, you know, we have so many good projects, but this is one that I like to call my baby. It's something that's very
more than
close
Agria?
To my heart.
I thought Agria was the first.
It's a toss up. It's definitely a toss up. Again, this was a project that was still in the planning when I first started in 2014. Mm-hmm. The area was there. The concept of putting an industrial park was there, but it needed somebody to execute it. And so my team and I, we went through the whole process of planning. What it is now, it's really one of the very few agro-industrial parks. And what that means is that most of our factories or most of the locators that are located within the industrial park are somehow involved in the value chain of agro-industrial processing. So that means that, you know, we have food manufacturing companies. We have companies that make packaging material, but that are focused for the agricultural industry. We even have a company that makes pallets. And those pallets are used by the agro-industrial industry as well. So there's really almost all of the companies have an angle towards the agricultural industry. And, you know, it's only fitting because, you know, we were not going to compete with, say, industrial parks in Luzon that are making,
cars,
car parts or something like that. Agriculture was going to be our strength because we're in Mindanao.
So put in the machinery that you can use or that the area can use to really make the most out of what you're growing and harvesting anyway, right?
Basically, I mean, you know, we have two companies where their raw material or their input are Cardaba bananas. So it's a kind of banana, which is very abundant.
One of the 67 that you grow.
One of the 67, exactly. So which is very abundant in Davao del Norte. So, you know, the access to the raw material is there. Now they have a place where they can manufacture their product. And by the way, our industrial park is accredited with PESA. So the locators have incentives. So they can manufacture very efficiently, pay a lower tax rate. And then they can export from an international container terminal.
Oh, I love how you're lessening carbon footprint. Just with the idea of all these being 5-10 minutes away, right? From one end where you're
Absolutely.
Growing it to manufacturing, processing everything out to shipping it out. It's all there.
Yes, it's all there. And by the way, I mean, you mentioned the carbon footprint. We also do use e-vehicles within the park.
This was all part of your planning from the start. 2014, I knew you had Agria already, 5 years in the planning stage. But you said, hey, let's hold on. We're not quite... The market's not ready for that. But there's this one, the Anflo Industrial Estate, which, hey, let's plan on this a little bit more. But I have a feeling you executed it first before you did Agria. Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. So we actually broke ground in February of 2016. So it's still a relatively new industrial park, but it's quite developed. We have about 15 different locators in the park already, represented by, I think it's 5 different countries. So we have a Japanese company, we have Chinese, we have Dutch, we have an American company, and of course, local companies. Yeah.
How was it easy bringing in these international companies in for this one? Or it pretty much sold itself, I think.
Honestly, it was a lot of work because a lot of people were still, you know, one thing in their mind was, is Mindanao ready for this kind of investment? There was that kind of hesitation, especially coming from a lot of the foreign companies. With the local companies, definitely not as much of a problem. But, you know, trying to attract a Japanese company to come to Mindanao was definitely going to be a challenge. So it took a lot of hard work. You know, we did our marketing even in Japan. Like, we would actually visit companies all the way in Japan. We worked through a lot of the government agencies to help promote our project. So, I mean, we've done, so many different things.
Measures. There's so many strict regulations, requirements when you're talking Japanese company level.
Exactly. And so that's why we felt that, you know, once we bring in that first Japanese company, hopefully more will follow suit. We're hoping that, you know, especially once this current situation is over, then once the Japanese can come back and start visiting, then hopefully we'll bring in more investment from them.
Wonderful. And of course, these are all onto manufacturing and processing again of certain goods that are already the raw materials that you provide.
Yes,
okay.
That's right.
It is an ongoing development. How is this agro-industrial hub doing nowadays? Are you like close to completion again because of the pandemic? How's it going?
The planning called for 4 different phases, and we've already built out the first 2. So I would say, I'm close to about 50% done, but all of the major infrastructure has already been built. So our wide 30-meter road network, Our central sewage treatment plant is already finished. Electricity is available. Water is available. Internet connections. I mean, everything that you need to be able to start your operations is there. And, you know, one other thing that we built were ready built facilities so that for investors that didn't want to wait to build their own factory, we have this, have the shell. We have the factory shell. They can just come in and start operations.
Anflo Industrial Estate, so you can say, is a self-sustaining eco zone. Is that
definitely? That's a very good way of putting it.
Eco zone, because things are already in place. But what is this word self-sustaining? How do you justify this term, self-sustaining?
Well, I mean, of course, raw materials will still have to be brought in. But for the most part, I mean, everything that you need to operate, which is basically, you know, electricity, water. We can even help you with sourcing your manpower. So we have agreements with, you know, with the local government and other manpower agencies so that, you know, especially for foreign companies that wouldn't know where to source their manpower, we can help you. We can help you do that.
Yes. That's part of the service that you provide. 15 locators are found inside AIE. So are these locators mainly focused on the agribusiness? Of course, being in the area?
Yeah. You can say that. I would say out of the 15, probably 13 are in one way or another related or doing work for the agro-industrial value chain. Yes.
Would there be room for like IT or other kind of, or even motor parts?
Eventually. I mean, we're not constricted to what we can bring in. The only thing that we wouldn't want to cater to are polluting types of factories.
Yes.
So, but if somebody wanted to come in and make, you know, car parts, transistors, things like that, we would definitely welcome that.
So putting things into focus, especially for our listeners who are already interested, like, hey, there's an agri park, right? There's eco zone. So what is the main objective of this industrial park? Just as a general reminder for everybody, what are you providing for the companies? You already have companies pretty much going in, 13 out of 15. How does AIE help these agri businesses inside the industrial park?
I guess you could say we make it easy for them to set up their operation, because can you imagine if, say, I'm a manufacturer of banana products for export. If you start a factory from scratch, it's like you have to find the ideal piece of land. You have to build the infrastructure. You have to build your factory. And then you won't even have incentives because you're not inside an export processing zone. You're probably going to be far away from a port. There's going to be no admin office that would help with whatever needs that you have. All of those things you can get by being inside our industrial park. So it's really providing that ease of doing business for the industry. And traditionally, there's not really many people that are doing that for them.
Yes.
If it's for electronics, there are tons that are catering to them. But for agribusiness, not so much. So, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, of course, you know, I'd be lying if I'd say that, you know, profit wasn't important. But, you know, with this, you know, we will be able to create job opportunities and we'll be able to diversify the kinds of job opportunities that are available here in the Davao region.
You know how when I ask Carrie this question, it's basically a summary of what Anflo Industrial Estate has to offer. Because as he actually broke it down, I can tell already that when you first signed on in 2014, seeing the different projects in planning, and again, you were first faced with Agria, plans are set, but you were like, okay, hold on first. And then we got Anflo Industrial Estate. Oh, here's something very promising. We can definitely work on this. Let's just iron out some of the little kinks that we need to probably add. The way you just broke it down now, like, you know, from the raw materials, is it near a port? Is it near this, that? I can imagine you're already putting all these other things in place just to get it done. Anflo Industrial Estate. So before I move on to your last project, anything else you'd like to add about AIE?
I mean, well, you know, the park is open for business. Another thing that we did during the pandemic is we went online. Because one thing that was really important for our locators to make a decision was to actually step inside the park and experience it for themselves. So yeah, obviously that's a challenge right now.
Yeah, it's not like a showroom type. You really want to make sure that, hey, people will go here because people should work here. This is not just an online thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so we, you know, we created a virtual tour, and we also did what we call a guided tour. So it's like a, I guess it's like a broker taking you through the industrial park. So we wanted to have different ways of presenting the project, depending on who the audience was. So these are all available on our websites, and you know, those that are interested to actually see the project, we have a lot of great material that you can view. It's all available right now.
You might want to mention the website now, and then we'll mention it again later, just so that it's fresh in people's minds. Go ahead.
It's anflowindustrialestate.com. And once you log on, actually the virtual tour is probably the first thing that will that you'll see when you log on. So please do visit.
Nice. For Agria, is there a separate website?
It's actually part of our Damasaland website. So damasaland.com. And as part of the damasaland.com website, we actually have this new product that we launched about 2 months ago called Damasaland 360. Mm-hmm. And what that is, it's all of our new, I guess, media that's available for our buyers and for all of our different projects. So we have virtual tours, we have guided tours, we even have lifestyle videos. So videos that are not even related necessarily to the project, but things that we're doing similar to, say, Final Pitch. You know, we put our videos on Damasaland 360. So it's really, you're able to see what we're doing as a company, not just from the project side, but I guess seeing our human side as well.
And
so that's available at damasaland.com.
Definitely seeing how people should live.
Definitely.
You know, human side is, you know, you're not building structures for the sake of just having a structure. People live there, eat there, work there, you know? So yes, never forget that human side. So from townships with an agricultural base to agri-industrial, let's head on to business. And of course, this is another thing that you're quite proud of. Like you were saying at the start of our podcast, this is now actually one of the most valuable land properties that you decided a long, long time ago, 1940s, 60s, to what it has become now. And that is why you also have Damosa Diamond Tower. So tell us about Damosa Diamond Tower and why it is a premier business destination nowadays.
Yeah, so this is probably one of our biggest projects to date. We broke ground on this project only about 2 years ago in 2018. And
what Damosa,
very recent, what Damosa Diamond Tower is, it's a 17-story premium office building, and it's located within our what we call the Damosa IT Park. So it's actually it was the first IT park registered with PEZA here in the Davao region. So the park itself was developed way back in 2007.
And
this is in Davao City.
So okay, Davao City proper now, everybody. Yeah.
We're in Davao City proper now. Only about 10 minutes away from the airport and very close to other new business destinations that were developed by some of the bigger national developers. But we were first. This is where the car dealership was. But now it's becoming really more of a business hub. And so inside this IT park, we started off with one building, then we built a 5-story building in 2012. And then now we said, look, I mean, we felt that the market was right for a taller building. So we are now building a 17-story office building. And, you know, the standard of what this building is or what it's going to be, it's very, I guess it can be, you can say that it's going to be similar to buildings that you'll see in Makati or in BGC.
Definitely modern.
We're actually only about a month or two away from completing it.
Oh, that's
so
fast.
Despite the pandemic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you just broke ground 2018, 17 stories, huh? Whoa.
That's right.
That's fast.
Yes.
So why Diamond Tower? Because again, this is where the car dealership came. Are they related? Yeah. Is there a related story?
Well, you know, it wasn't me who decided to name a lot of our buildings here by different gems. So it was already set up that way. So we have a building called Topaz Tower. We have an amethyst building. We have a sapphire building. But then we said, look, this is going to be the tallest, probably the biggest and the best building inside of our business center. So that's why we're calling it Damasa Diamond Tower.
Yes. The biggest gem of them all. Talk about the features of the building. What are the features? I think banana still has a big contribution.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned earlier that we tried to put agriculture in a lot of our different projects. Mm-hmm. Obviously, an office building, that would be definitely a big challenge. I mean, how can you put agriculture into this project? So it was a challenge that we gave to our architect, was to try to design a building that had some elements of agriculture to it. And so, I wish I could show you, a rendered picture of the building, but the wavy lines outside of the building, which are going to be, which will be achieved by having architectural fins on the outside, it depicts banana fibers. So when you look at the building from afar, it'll look like banana fibers kind of blowing in the wind. That was the inspiration.
Okay, now I want to see a photo. That's like there's something like I was trying to sketch as you're describing that, but now I do want to see a photo. If you want to see a photo, again, it's pretty much months away to completion. Where can we see? Just check it out in your website.
Yeah, we have project updates and we have a lot of rendered photos on our website on damasaland.com. So you can see, where we are. Yes, you can see where we are in the construction stage and you can see what it's going to look like by actually end of next month.
Keep that image in mind. It's like a banana fibers in the wind. I'm really intrigued with what that looks like, especially if you are crowning the Damasa Diamond Tower, right? Okay, more details.
Yes.
Features, I'm sure you're sustainable. You have sustainable features in the building. Break it down for us, please.
Sure. So, I mean, you know, one thing that those architectural fins will be doing, aside from adding that architectural element, is that it will also deflect a lot of the sunlight and hence the heat from the building. The glass that we're using, it's floor-to-ceiling glass, but it's low-E glass or low-emission glass, so that, there will be less heat going into the building. Obviously, that would lower your electricity bill. We'll be using solar panels. Our other buildings also have solar panels, so this will be another one of those. And, you know, one thing that we'll be promoting is a more healthy lifestyle. So we will have a lot of bike racks so that, you know, hopefully our employees would ride their bikes to work. And then, of course, if you're going to ride your bike to work, you need a shower. So we're building shower rooms for all of the different floors.
Nice.
Trying to be as sustainable as we can. Of course, LED lights and things like that, that's going to be standard. Because of the pandemic, there are some improvements that we're putting in place. So automatic sliding doors, automatic sliding doors, touchless flushers, faucets, and things like that.
Other than the usual safety protocols of sanitizers everywhere, anything as to contactless as much as you can.
We'll be as contactless as we can. And by the way, we'll also have one nice amenity that we'll have is that our roof deck. It's going to be a green roof deck. So we are putting a restaurant on the top floor, but there's going to be a huge space that will be allocated for a green garden. And that's going to be an amenity for the whole building to enjoy.
Oh, a date place too. That's going to be a date place. I can just imagine that place. He mentioned in one interview, it'll be the landmark in Davao that's comparable to famous landmarks like Burj in Taipei 101. You want this to be that. It's the first and last building you'll be see taking off and landing in the airport.
Yes. Well, you know, a lot of cities all around the world are characterized by, you know, what's that iconic building? I mean, New York has the Empire State Building. You mentioned Taipei 101. There's the Petronas Towers. We won't be the tallest building, definitely not. But it will have so much character and it will have so much meaning that will we hope that will resonate with the people of Davao City, because again, we're depicting a very important industry in the architecture of the building, which is the banana industry. And that's something that really helped grow the region. And so, you know, having that importance in our architecture of this building is something that we hope will really resonate with the people of Davao City.
Yeah, because you have not just love, but pride for it. It's what makes you unique, you know?
Yes.
So it's like your own Davao stamp on the project. Definitely,
you can say that.
Calling it your own. So,
yes.
Who would you like to attract? How is occupancy? I know you're 2-3 months away from completion. Do you still have room?
We do. I mean, we're still trying to attract new tenants to come in. We are already working with some of the biggest BPOs in the country. I mean, there already are tenants in some of our other buildings. We also have some multinational companies. For instance, Ernst & Young has their regional Mindanao headquarters in one of our other buildings. So these are the kinds of quality, or this is the quality of the kinds of tenants that we would hope to attract.
Mm-hmm.
We think that we'll be able to do this because we have become known as one of the more important and well-located business centers in Davao today. I think, you know, with a lot of BPOs, especially that will be looking outside of Metro Manila, we think that we'll be able to attract some of these guys to come our way.
There you go. Again, beyond BPOs, IT, everything. Again, anyone wanting to set up some sort of main office branch in Davao, definitely this is one of the places you might want to look into. Be it small
Absolutely.
To big multinational companies.
Yes, and you know, aside from our permanent office space that will be available, I mentioned also earlier that we are the franchise partner of Regis Business Center. And so we will be building another Regis Business Center, which is, again, the country's premier flexible workspace offering. So this will attract, you know, companies that want that flexibility. If they want to come in and say, you know, with say 5 employees, and so they need a little office space,
yeah.
But later on they want to expand, this would be the perfect place for them. We already did build another Regis Center in one of our office buildings. That was in 2016. And we've been at, say, 90 to 95% capacity for the last couple of years. So,
wow.
You know, we believe that there's going to be, thank you. So we think that, you know, we can really attract a very diverse set of clients for this building, from BPOs, multinationals, even single partnerships, professional offices, and things like that. I think what's important is that what we're providing them is a high quality building done by a local homegrown developer. So I think, you know, that trust in doing business with us, we hope that it's going to be there, and it's something that they'll value.
Carrie, we've only had time to discuss 3 projects. Again, Agria, AIE, and yes, the Damosa Diamond Tower, right? But I have no doubt you have other projects in the works. So in a nutshell, besides these 3 that we talked about in detail, are you working on other, just other plans that you are still currently working on that you'd like to share?
Yeah, you know, you said... It's, I guess, bad timing. This year, we were supposed to launch our very exciting project. It's a seaside community.
Ooh.
And in Samal Island, which is just right across the Davao Channel,
mm-hmm.
We have a 12-hectare property there that we're turning into a mixed-use project, but centered around a marina. So it's really promoting the boating lifestyle. And we actually have built out the marina, so the marina is existing. But because of the situation, we said that we would launch the condominiums that we're going to build there probably sometime in the 3rd quarter of next year. So, I mean, we're just pushing it back a little bit, but
yeah.
This is going to be a really cool and fun and, definitely another landmark project for us.
I've been to Samal, and it's a beautiful area. So I can just imagine, again, this is both residential, township. So that's something exciting to look forward to. But at least these 3 projects that we discussed so far in our podcast, again, Agria, AIE, our agro-industrial estate, and Damosa Diamond Tower. These are all pretty much almost completed. So, you know, for people looking for an opportunity to get the economy back, get your companies back on track, especially with 2020 closing already. We all look towards a hopeful future. These are at least the projects that you can be part of as early as now. Am I right, Carrie?
Definitely. And you know, we said that, the pandemic is setting everyone back, you know, months or maybe years, but, you know, we can't stop developing. We have to be well positioned for when the economy does swing up or does, you know, start to pick up. I mean, we can't start our projects then. The projects have to be ready when that happens. So, and again, it's also a way for us to continue to help the local economy and make sure that, you know, our employees still have jobs and their livelihoods are all intact. So it's important that, of course, I mean, we have to develop intelligently, but mm-hmm. definitely we will not stop developing.
So as a closing then, what is the significance of the MOSA, of the MOSA Land Incorporated, not just for Davao, but for the country? How'd you like to be remembered?
Well, I guess you could say, I mean, we are one of those small and upcoming companies, I'll say, I mean, relatively small, that was able to develop different kinds of real estate successfully in its locality. You know, there's always that tendency for companies to just try to go to Metro Manila and, you know, around Metro Manila to develop because that's where the money is, that's where the opportunities are. But, you know, if you just develop intelligently and plan well within your locality, you know, there are a lot of opportunities. And I think it just takes that one company or that one person to just say that, yeah, no, we can make it here.
And lead the way too. Set an example.
And lead the way.
I particularly like, again, how you center on what's there. That imprint of what Davao is all about, or what this city like Panabo is all about, what we already offer anyway, then let's make it part of what we are developing. So that one is what resonates with me. So hats off to you and to the MOSA Land Inc. for that. So again, Carrie,
please
share with us for more inquiries, for anyone who wants to know more details, your social media websites, please.
Yeah, so I mean, for social media, I mean, we're on Facebook, the MOSA Land. We have an official page where we show most of our project updates. We also have a community page where we have updates on non-project related activities. We also have our AdFlow Industrial Estate pages. By the way, these are available on Facebook and Instagram as well. On our website, on themosaland.com. I mentioned earlier, that's where we have the MOSA Land 360. So that's one of our latest sales and marketing tools. If you want to get a good overview of what we're doing and to actually see the projects, definitely please go to visit that website and you'll see all of the information, all of the cool videos and photos and everything. And you'll even see TV shows that were produced by the same producers of Philippine Realty TV, also on our channel.
There you go. Thank you very, very much, Carrie Lagdameo, ladies and gentlemen. And of course, the MOSA Land Incorporated. We certainly hope that you found this episode to be an interesting and even more importantly, a promising one, especially if you're considering investing in real estate. Do tune in again for more in the next podcast of Realty TV. I'm Isa Leton, signing off.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.